So it's going to be really fun. We're all going to need a nap after this one. But I really mean that, though. I could have called it the joy of suffering or the pleasure of suffering. But I kind of feel like the richer our country gets, and we're super rich. I get to travel all over the world, and nobody has it better than we do. It feels like the richer and more comfortable we get, the more we expect not to suffer. And we find suffering surprising, and we find suffering difficult. But Scripture kind of has some strong words about suffering, and I'm going to actually share something with you this morning that I have never shared in the United States. So the first time I ever shared it was last month. I spent a month in South Africa teaching a lot. Oh, are you from there or just you want a vacation there one day? I was like super excited about South Africa. It's a good place. I love it. So why are you so excited about South Africa? Feels like there's a story. Oh, you've been there. Oh, see, then you get it. They understand. I am very ADD, so just know if you engage with me, I will engage back. No matter how inappropriate or meaningless it might be. Because I could not have moved on until I understood better what was going on. So I'm actually going to share a story from my own life today that I have not shared in the United States. And it's kind of intense, and it definitely has to do with suffering. But I shared it in South Africa because I guess the Holy Spirit wanted me to. I had no intention of doing it. And then right before I was going to preach, I think, was it my first Sunday? Because were you there? Amy, this is my wife, Amy. She's prettier than I am. And so, just stand up, take a turn for everybody. So, everyone's looking now. They're like, we want to see. Actually, this guy should stand up. That'd be the best. Amy, take a stand. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness of, you know, that's no minor thing that just happened. I can't remember the dang secret word we were going to try to get in today. Nominal. So do you know the things that happen behind the scenes? It's not healthy. So I think Jason gave us a word if we could get nominal in, which I've now done twice. I would get a free shake for every time I said nominal, 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 nominal. It's no nominal thing, Jason. So I was in South Africa. I had no idea at all that this was going to happen, the story. And just before I was going to preach, the pastor, and we've been traveling there for like 12 years, and they're like family. It's literally like family. We can see ourselves living there one day. And so the pastor, Greg, is, you know, about to introduce me, and then he's like, hey, but before Michael comes up, a former elder is here, and his father just passed away yesterday. And that brought up a whole bunch of emotions. So for me, if you don't know, I'll say this so you don't ask me how my dad is doing, because that's really awkward being the son of a famous guy after he has passed away. Because people are like, hey, so what's your dad up to? Well, death. So now we can avoid that awkwardness later. So my dad passed away or graduated on March 6th of 2016. And so I'm about to preach, and this former elder gets up, and he's talking about his father passing away. Of course, that brings up all sorts of emotions for me because it's still pretty fresh. And I get up there, and for the first time publicly, I shared the experience or the story of my father graduating to heaven. And the reason I want to share that this morning is I was actually on Highway 99. Wow. There's some real random excitement here today. Go Visalia. And so I'm on 99, and I'm trying to think about, you know, what am I going to talk about today, because I don't plan super ahead of time, because this was yesterday. And now I had an idea of what I wanted to do, But then the Holy Spirit, I felt like he's like, you need to share the story. And my first reaction was, I don't know if Americans can handle this. Like, South Africans are a different breed. They are. But I'm like, Americans can be kind of weird about death, and people can get uncomfortable about it. And I thought, it might not go over quite like I want it to. And then I got so struck by something, which is one of the greatest legacies my father left was storytelling and joy in suffering. And then I start to sob. Like the night he graduated to heaven, I am sobbing out of control yesterday on Highway 99. I'm debating if I need to pull over because it hit me so hard that, oh my heavens, this is exactly what my father would want. Like, to be able to use his story of graduating to heaven as a story about joy and suffering, it was too perfect. And so you're going to get that this morning. And the key passage is 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. So if you have your Bible with you or your smart device, is it me or does this thing keep getting lower? Right? Now maybe it'll make it, because I cannot read it low. So 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Dear friends, pay attention. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. By the way, Christ says this all the time. Have joy in your suffering. So instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners. Make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be, and this is kind of critical, right? Because sometimes you suffer because you're a knucklehead, right? You wake up, you do heroin, and you're suffering. That's a you problem. We're going to talk about that kind of suffering. You didn't see that coming, did you? However, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. So we're not talking about suffering that you sort of heap upon yourself because you make dumb choices. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you. And this is how he ends it. For he will never fail you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Hume, Lord, for the, oh my gosh, the blatant obviousness of your glory. Just being in this place and surrounded by these trees and these mountains and this lake. And Lord, just help us focus on you this morning. Help each and every one of our of us get out of the way of our pride or our, Lord, our stubbornness. And just give us ears to hear what you need us to hear this morning. Thank you for loving us and for letting us love you and love others. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 1 Peter 4:12, you got to understand what the believers in Asia Minor are facing in that time. Because surely suffering and possible death, like he talks about in verse 12, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Peter may well see on the horizon the massive suffering at the hand of Nero, which he, right, and Paul would die. You might not know this, but in that time of suffering for the Christian believer, which is what I was thinking about this morning, is Nero would keep his courtyards lit by the burning bodies of Christians. He'd use them as torches. I mean, this is real suffering, right? And this is why I had that thought this morning, because it makes me chuckle when you hear how traumatized people were over the election. And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, have perspective for the love of all things holy, because back in the day, your fellow sisters and brothers in the faith were lit like torches in the courtyard of Nero, right? Like, you need a day off from school if you see that. Right? I mean, come on. And so Peter sees that that's on the horizon, the persecution of Nero. And it's also for that time for the believer, it was the judgment of God. And it was, and to be really clear, the judgment of God was purifying for the believer. Because God's judgment, it's kind of like a parent disciplining his child. I don't discipline my child because I hate them and I want to hurt them and I want them to be miserable. We discipline because I love you and I want you to be better if you're my kid. God's the same way. So when we're facing, as a believer, God's judgment, the point of the judgment is a purification process. In Hebrews 12:6, we can read, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." So again, we should never be surprised. Because this time of suffering, so I don't know what you're going through, but I can be pretty confident most all of you are going through something. Right? It might not be what Amy and I went through with the death of my father. It might be a divorce. It could be the loss of a child. I mean, we're all going through suffering. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, you can consider it pure joy, because when you suffer, you get to be more like him. And when you suffer, you realize and you have to learn and adapt and get in your heart that, hey, joy doesn't come from people, places, or things. Those are empty, because they're fallible. Joy only comes from the Lord. So when I'm suffering, that means I can be more dependent on Christ. And so for us, you know, by far the biggest trial or suffering that my wife and I and our family went through was the very slow death of my father, or graduation. And so Amy and I actually brought him into our home, and we took care of him for over a year and a half. And I had to watch that process. That was not a fun process to watch, with your father just kind of withering away. He had IgA nephropathy, and he had had open heart surgery, which caused all sorts of issues. And from that date in August of whenever it was, 2014-ish, he just got progressively worse, to where we eventually had to move him into our home so we could take full-time care of him. And that's tough. That's not a fun thing, right? And I'll tell you, what's so unique about this experience for us is that I was raised on this idea that suffering is not a bad thing. So, and I want to be really careful here, because I am not talking about the denial of suffering or denying that you're not, that you're even in suffering and, no, I'm good, everything's fine. I mean that you can embrace the hard times, the trials in your life, the suffering that you're going through, you can embrace it and have joy, because that comes from Christ. It's one of those miraculous things that we can't fully comprehend, but we can experience. Because who's with me? Who's experienced that in your life? Yeah, there's a bunch of you. And I promise you, those hands that go up, they get it. Because there is joy, because it comes from God. And so when we're going through hard times, I know, and I had the blessing of my father who, from, you know, birth, I was taught that this is a good thing. And I wonder what we're going to learn through this. I had a speech impediment I was in speech therapy until the eighth grade, and kids were vicious. And my dad, I'd come home bawling because kids were making fun of me. And he'd hug me and say, "I'm so sorry," but he would remind me, A, what are we going to learn from this? But B, also, that when other people mistreat you, why do they mistreat you? Because they're in a good place? Because you deserve it? Why? And how my dad taught a little boy with a bad speech impediment was that that kid has an owie on his heart. Right? I mean, people who wound other people are wounded. And so we don't have to take it personally. Because if you mistreat me, that's actually good news for me. Because I now know, oh, thank the Lord, this has nothing to do with me. This is a you problem. And so as my dad was progressively getting worse, and, it was just tough, and it was hard to see him, and he was starting to really have difficulty even just getting out of bed during the day, it kind of came to the point he had another UTI, urinary tract infection, and those were disastrous for him because he was so sick. He was about 74 or 75. That it would wipe him out, and he'd spend a week in the hospital, and then he'd spend another week in the rehab facility, all for a UTI. And then when he'd get out of the rehab, his baseline would actually be lower than what it was when he went in. So he just kind of kept getting worse. And so at that point, I've never been afraid of death. I've never been uncomfortable with death. I see dead people. Sorry for the reference. This felt natural. And so I've never been stressed. I am not stressed out about my own death because for me, I really do believe what Scripture says, and I believe Christ is real, and I believe that he came, he lived, he died, and more importantly, he rose again. So for me, this is just a blip, right? I don't know why I get it, but I get it. I just don't worry about it. And some people are like, oh, you don't want to miss out on your kids? I'm like, I don't think I'm missing out if I'm in heaven. And they're going to be there right after me anyways. And when you start thinking about eternity, what's 80 years in eternity? Nothing, right? And so it's never scared me. And so, of course, I was the one who was elected or chose to go in and talk with my dad that you have another UTI. And so I went in and I wanted to talk about home hospice. And if you're not aware of what that is, home hospice is where you get off all your meds, and they make you comfortable, and they allow you to graduate in peace. It's actually a real major blessing of an industry. And they care for the family, and like hospice nurses are some of the greatest people on earth. So I went into my dad's room, and this is an awkward conversation to have with someone, right? Like, do you want to go on hospice? Like, that's not your everyday, what cereal do you want? And, oh, by the way, let's discuss home hospice and your impending death. And so I go in there. I told you it was going to be uncomfortable. So I go in. I'm like, hey, you have another UTI. And my dad's face, he was so discouraged. And my heart hurt for him because I knew my dad, he loved Jesus and he loved others. And so there was nothing left for him, right? He was in harmony with everyone that mattered. And he knew where he was going. So this suffering thing didn't make a lot of sense to him either. And so I go, hey, do you want to talk about home hospice? My dad looked at me and goes, well, what's home hospice? Told him what I just told you. I'm like, you get to go off your meds, which some of them were pretty intense. I actually donated a kidney to my father. So he had my kidneys, so he's on anti-rejection meds and yada, yada, yada. He goes, I could get off all my meds? I'm like, yeah. And then what? I go, well, they keep you comfortable and you just, you get to graduate naturally. Oh. I like it. I went, all right. Okay, he goes, can you call him now? He really did. I'm not making an ounce of this up. And I went, I wasn't prepared to call him now. I want you to call him. I went, I guess I can call now. So I called my buddy, who's our doctor, and he gave me the number. And he's like, can they come over today? I was like, yeah, you're really ready for this, aren't you? I was like, Dad, I've never done this before. It's my first experience with home hospice. So I call the home hospice people. I'm like, yeah, my dad would really love for you to come today. And they're like, yeah, we have an opening. We'll be right over in like a couple hours. I went, wow, this is all moving so fast. I think my wife still has some bitterness. She does. And so it was all going so fast, but my dad was like, get her done. And so I hang up with the hospice. I'm like, they're coming over in like a couple hours. He's like, wow, okay. And then are they going to give me the shot? Oh, it gets so much worse. And I go, the shot, like of morphine? I don't think they'll shoot more. They'll probably just like drip it under your tongue or something. He's like, no, not morphine. I go, well, what shot are you talking about? The shot. Oh, Dad, I don't know what shot. Wait a minute. Are you thinking of the shot that would put you permanently asleep? He goes, yeah. I go, whoa, did you just agree to be euthanized today? And he goes, isn't that what it is? I went, no. I really had this conversation. I'm like, no, and wow. And I went over and hugged him. I said, you are ready. I'm like, he just agreed to go down like that afternoon. I'm like, no, Dad, that's illegal. And, you know, we're not in Oregon. I could check on flights. I don't know. And so I was like, good Lord, slow down, Tex. And so he's like, oh, okay. And because he was ready to go. For him, he felt the same way. This life is like, it's nothing compared to eternity. But for that to happen, you have to be in Christ Jesus. That's what's so important. And you're going to suffer in many different ways, right? I mean, yesterday I texted my wife, and I'm going to read, but yeah, this is happening right now. So I copied my text verbatim. So this is, remember when I was bawling and seeing if I should turn off the freeway? So I'm driving on Highway 99 outside of Visalia earlier today, so I was actually typing this out, thinking about what I wanted to preach on Sunday at Hume Lake. I thought about my dad's death story and how it impacted people in South Africa. I wondered if it would go over the same here in the U.S. Would people laugh? Would they feel uncomfortable with that story? Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. My father, and this is the hard part, my father would love nothing more than for me to use his life and death as a story to inspire and teach others. I haven't cried that hard for a long time, almost had to pull over, but the joy I felt about how my dad raised me to tell stories and to celebrate trials, what a gift. Kissy face. So I'm looking to see when she opens it, and she has not figured out, she has not figured out how to turn off the read. So I saw it had been read, and it had been like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, what the heck? I just dumped my soul to my wife. And then my 15-year-old son David calls. I'm like, why is David calling me? Because I'm wanting my wife to call me and lovingly support me. And so I get a call from David. I'm like, hey, what's up, bud? Why are you calling? He's like, I don't know. Mom got some text and said you might need to talk to someone. You said that. She totally said that. Your dad's freaking out again. He might need someone to talk to. I'm busy ordering at the airport. And so when it comes, so that's like a little suffering. It wasn't a big deal. It did not hurt my feelings, but I did say I would throw her under the bus officially. Done. So now I regret that we have two rooms in our cabin with like four different beds. I'll be on one of them. So what's important about suffering is it's coming. If it ain't already happening, it will. Sorry to break that to you, but this world is not what it's supposed to be. So seriously, get over it. It's okay. Because if you have Christ in your corner, he's going to use whatever trial, whatever suffering that you're going through, he promises to use it for his glory and yours. He's going to grow you. He's going to mature you. He's going to make you stronger. It's going to purify you. There is literally no negative, ultimate negative outcome of suffering for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you picking up on a theme yet? This is one of probably the greatest benefits of loving Christ, is that the hardships I inevitably go through, he's going to use to not make just me better, but the people around me better. And so what am I worried about? What am I worried about? I know it's hard, and I know you're hurting, and I know some of you are right now really upset with me because you're saying to yourself, but you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, that's real easy. You can laugh about your dad dying in home hospice, but that's nowhere near what I'm going through. Suffering is suffering. I mean, it's relative. I mean, it just is. And it stinks. But it doesn't have to stay that way. You really can have joy in the midst of it. And if you don't think Christ went through it, Jesus suffered. He was mocked. He was ignored, abandoned, betrayed, rejected, condemned, judged. I mean, haven't you felt these very same things? And yet, even at the end, what did Jesus say? While suffering and dying on the cross, Jesus cries out, "Father, into your hand I entrust my spirit." Even in the midst of arguably the greatest suffering in the history of mankind, even then, Jesus trusted the Father. Even then, he knew the best place for me is to be in his hands. And the same is true for you. Because of what Christ did for us on the cross, you have that exact same benefit. I guess the question this morning is, are you willing to trust him? Because it's really what it comes down to. Do you genuinely believe? We sing the songs, but what do we do in the midst of suffering? And that's where I was so proud of my family and the legacy of my father. Because as he, when he got on home hospice, which they do not give a shot, just in case you got nervous about that, but he got off his meds, he degraded quickly. And it was on Sunday, March 6th, and everyone is there. All, like almost all the grandkids, all of his kids, obviously my mother, I mean, we're all there. And where I was actually cooking. Well, I know it's kind of uncomfortable, but I was outside cooking for everybody, and then Amy was in with my father, and she, like, kind of, I could see someone, I think she jumped up, somebody, but the next thing you know, they're like, "You guys need to come in, it's happening." So now here it is, right? The day of reckoning, we've been taking care of my father for a year and a half, and it's like the moment is upon us. And so we're all sitting around, you know, one of those, like, narrow hospital beds? So we had one of those in his room. And so we're all around it. We all gather around. And Amy's sitting on his right side holding his hand. And so I pull up a chair next to her. And then my sister's on the other side holding his other hand. And my brother's sitting next to her. And we're all just crammed in around the bed. And then before you know it, Amy starts sobbing like a Middle Eastern woman at the Wailing Wall. I mean, we're talking intense. Like guttural. Like... I mean, this was not a nominal crying. I killed it. And so she really did, though, because you're a passionate woman. He was your best friend. She is sobbing. I mean, she is letting everything go. And we're more British. So we're a lot more reserved in my family system. And so everyone's getting a little uncomfortable at the level of sobbing, like, blah! And I'm like, okay. And so I don't know what to do. And I'm looking over at my brother across from my dad who's dying right in front of us. My brother's eyes are like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know, but it's getting louder. And then my sister starts chiming in, and this gets creepy. Because I can make voices and imitate people. And she starts chanting daddy over and over and over again. But in this real melodic, daddy, daddy, daddy. So imagine at one time, my wife is sobbing like a woman at the Wailing Wall. My sister is chanting, daddy, daddy. My brother and I are speechless. We're just looking at each other going, I don't know what to do. My father's dying. And then my mother, from nowhere, as he is taking his final breaths, daddy, ah! My mother starts singing, "This is the day the Lord has made." I can't make this up. My brother and I go, wait, what? And so she's singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made." And we're like, why? And my sister, daddy, my wife, ah! It was the worst compilation song in the history of mankind. And it was like total chaos. And so it gets better. So now I'm like, this is crazy, but my hand's on his chest, and I can feel the heart go. It stops. And I, of course, I am praying over him at that time, and I'm just praying over my father. And you know, he and my wife had a really precious thing because they never called that I'm dying. I'm graduating. They said that over and over. That was their word. And so I'm like, whoa. And so I foolishly make the mistake of going, hey, everybody, Dad just had his final breath. And I mean, it was quiet. For like 30 seconds, nobody's saying squat. I'm praying over him. My dad is literally getting cold and gray because that's what happens when you die. And 30 seconds later, because this part of your brain doesn't go so quick, so horrible things can happen after someone has passed or graduated. And so everything's quiet, grandchildren are around. And 30 seconds after his final breath, my father goes, ah! I am a very skittish person. So I'm like, Lord, I just went, ah! I went, oh! I went 50 feet up, straight up. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, she told me not to say this, but I said a word I always say that rhymes with it. Yeah, I know, super spiritual. Because I'm like, it! And I mean, people scatter, like total pandemonium, like, grandchildren are weeping now. I'm like, what just happened? The hospice nurse is trying to calm everyone down. It's normal, everybody. I'm like, oh, I totally forgot that that happens. And so everything calms back down. Everyone gathers back around. Man, 30, 45 seconds later, it's finally quiet. Praying over him again. And one more time, for good measure, my father, ah! And now I'm like, pew! And I scream, Holy Mother of Pearl, you have to stop. I did. And I'm like, why? So then it gets real crazy. I can't even share all the things that were happening. But how our family copes is different, right? We have dark humor, obviously, because I'm willing to share this in front of people. My father's graduation story. And so kind of, it's like, it's hectic. We're all coping in our own way, and it's different. And I, like, feel convicted by the Holy Spirit that I need to maybe pull the hospice nurse aside and apologize, because I don't know what's normal. I'm assuming whatever we're doing is not normal. So I go, hey, can I talk to you in the kitchen? She's like, sure, really sweet lady. I've been doing this for 25 years. And I go, I want to apologize if how we're behaving, if it's coming across weird or rude or I don't even know. It's kind of nuts in there. And she goes, stop it right there. I've been doing this 25 years, and never have I seen a death go so well. I went, it feels like that's a compliment. But she goes, I was so impressed by how you guys have responded that I didn't even know who your dad was. So I Googled him and find out, like, he's this super famous author. And I mean, he clearly did a good job raising you guys. Even in the darkest moment, what I want to leave you with this morning is what you believe and think up here is going to impact and dictate what happens and how you react and how you respond and how you treat others. So if in the midst of your suffering and in the trials that are coming or already on you, if your thinking about that is bad and this is horrible and this is unfair and this is I'm never going to be the same and I'm never going to overcome this thing or I'm never going to be able to get over this, then you probably won't. And the real tragedy is that it doesn't have to be that way, because there's joy in the Lord. And if you're just willing to trust him, and in your suffering you can be hurting, if you come to me this morning and you're hurting, I will cry with you and hug you and tell you this stinks and this is totally wrong and I can't believe this is happening. But I know God will use this. Because he does. He promises. And one of the really cool blessings, probably a month or two after my dad had graduated, we got a video. My brother had found a video my dad had taped in 1991. Now, this gives you kind of an idea of the type of person my father was. Because in 1991, he filmed a death tape. Like, literally put the old VHS camcorder on a tripod, sat down at his desk in our home in Phoenix, Arizona, and he goes, well, if you're watching this, it means that I've died. He did this, didn't tell anybody that he had done this. But here's how God comforts you in the most miraculous and strange ways. There's my father in 1991. He'd never met my wife at this point. He didn't even know who she was. I didn't even know who she was at this point. And on the video in the intro, he says, if you're watching this, it probably means I've died, but I don't want you to see this as a death. I want you to see this as a graduation, which was the word that they got to share together. Even in little tiny ways like that, God cares for you no matter what you're going through. Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that my father could know you and love you and is now with you, and that I don't have to suffer because I know that he's graduated, and Lord, he is with you, and there is no better place to be. And so this morning, I don't know where these folks are, Lord, but I just ask in the name of Jesus that they trust you today. Lord, that they reach out to you. Lord, that they commit to you. And God, that each and every one of them makes a decision to be one of your disciples. And from that love that you give them, that they go and make disciples of others. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Help us honor you and honor each other as we get to enjoy Hume this week. I ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen.